morning we're going to be concluding our three-week discussion called Money Matters. And everyone says, I love it when the pastor talks about money. Right? It's good. No, it is. It is good. Money is discussed all over the Bible. The late Larry Burkett said that there are 1,600 verses in the Bible that talk about money, wealth, or finances. 1,600 verses in the Bible. Money is a pretty important topic. Lord, we ask that you would come right now, that you would impact our thinking, that you'd change it, you'd transform us. God, that we would be able to walk into the place of glory as it relates to our finances and experience all that you have for us in this area of our lives. So we come to submit our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our finances to you this morning because we know you're good. Amen? Let's watch this interesting video about money.
The pocketbook says, my money is the key to happiness. It's the key to power. It's the key to peace. It's the key to success. It's the key to capitalism. It's the key to producing purpose. And it's the key to finding love. That's my money. I wonder, do you know it? My money is a supreme money. No debased deceiver can debunk its buying power. It puts bread on the table. It makes me feel stable. It's the core of consumerism. It is beyond criticism. It has no euphemisms. Do you know it? It wakes me up in the morning and it keeps me up at night. It is the reward that I hoard. It dictates my day. It divides my attention.
Okay.
It's the big business.
That's about all that I can handle. Obviously, you understand that that's a parody. I don't know, some of you maybe have seen that video about That's My King, and it's talking about Jesus being all of those things. That's a little bit of a spoof off of that right there. But here's what I fear. I fear that too often people walking in the flesh fall into that trap of elevating money to that place that it never should be. They elevate money to that place that it should never possess. And I'm here to say right now, as I'm about to preach about this and talk about this, that I've been there and done that. And you're going to get to hear some stories. Confessions of a pastor. Anyway, you're going to get to hear some stories. But here's what Jesus says about money. Matthew 6:24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now that's a truth. You could say, yeah, but I'm different. Okay, that's Jesus who just said that. You can't serve both God and money. But here's what's interesting about money. Money, it's not good, but it's not bad. Money's neutral. But here's where we get into trouble with money. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money, the desire, the trust, the faith in money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for this thing, this neutral thing called money, they're eager for it. They've wandered from the faith and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. In other words, they made their lives hard and miserable going after money. So before we invest any more time in this, did you catch that? That was a cute little... Before we invest any more time in this topic about money, I worked hard for that one, all right? That was... I want to be clear again that money is not evil. And having money or being wealthy is not wrong. In fact, money in the hands of a godly, kingdom-minded person can be extremely powerful. It can accomplish so much good. Money in the hands of somebody who understands its place and understands God's place in the world. Money in the hands of somebody who has a kingdom of God mentality. Here's what it can do. It can feed the hungry. Money can house the homeless. It can print Bibles. It can fund the spreading of the gospel. It can build churches. Money in the hands of somebody who understands its place and has submitted it to the Lord and understands that it's His for His purposes, that money can build, can house, can print, can fund, can fight. God can use it for His glory. So we understand that, right, as we continue talking about this. But here's the problem. Unfortunately, many people, even many Christians, I should say most people, and even many Christians, struggle with this love of money, this godly elevation of money, thinking that it can bring happiness, thinking that money can bring security, thinking that money can bring freedom. So this morning, I want to expose three money myths. It's the title of the sermon, Money Myths. Ooh, look out. These are three myths that I have personally fallen for. There are some other myths and lies about money, but I'm just picking three that have been near and dear and, praise God, history now in my life. But these are three myths that I bought hook, line, and sinker at one point in my life. And deep down, I imagine that we all know that following ideas about money that are false are going to bring issues in our lives. So we're just going to kind of talk about all of that. What the lies are and what God's truths are about money. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it this way. We're going to use this old game show called Family Feud. You know where it says, survey says, da da da. So I went out and I stole, this will be out online, so I hope this is all okay with copyright. But I went out online, I Googled it, and I took their little game board there and did a little Photoshop on it. And we're calling it The Money Matters, and we've got a truth column, and we've got a myth column. Now, if you really are a Family Feud aficionado, you may be frustrated with me this morning because I'm going to take a whole lot of liberties with how this game show thing works, all right? So you just kind of got to follow me, but in the end, I think it's going to help us really grab hold of what God is saying about money. So you're going to give me some grace and hang with me on this, right? All right, cool. So we're going to go right into myth number one. Here is myth number one. Money brings happiness. Survey says, Bible says... Sorry, we don't have the sound effects. You just got to use me. This myth about money bringing happiness takes on a whole lot of forms. You know how it goes. You guys have been there probably in your minds. Hey, if only I had a little more. If only I had this or if only I had that, I'd be happy. If only I had a newer car. If only I had a little bit bigger house, lived in a different neighborhood, I'd be happier. You know what? If I just had $1,000 more in my paycheck every month, I guarantee you what, I would be a happy person. That would do it. That would push me over the edge. And you know, as I started thinking about this, here's where my mind went. Let's run that. I want to be happy. We all want to be happy. God put that in us. Okay, I'm happy. We got a happy person in the house. Amen. But is money the source of that happiness? Is it going to buy us that kind of happiness where we're going to be dancing around every day and really, truly living happy lives? No. The wealthiest man to ever live, his name was Solomon. You read the Bible, you know this guy, right? You've spent some time reading what he's written about life. And he had this to say about money's ability to bring happiness. It's found in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. Solomon says, sorry, I'm still Family Feud. Solomon says, whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied, is never happy. Never. Never happy with his income. This too is meaningless. Meaningless. See, Solomon didn't find happiness in money, yet he had all he wanted and then a whole lot more. In fact, it's as you read about the life of Solomon and you read his writings, you find out that not only did money not bring him happiness, money brought him a whole lot of pain. Pierced him with many griefs, that money did. Because he got off track with his thinking about it. He got fleshly and earthly and all selfish and weird thinking about money. He didn't start off that way, but that's where he went with it. And it brought a lot of pain into his life and a lot of others' lives. I know you're saying, maybe you're saying, look, Pastor, just give me that money. Just give me a little more of that money and I'll be able to handle it. Solomon, that dude didn't have it together, but I will be able to handle it. I will be able to have it all together. Give me the money. I'll take care of the problems. It'll make me happy. And I'm like, really? Really? All right. I don't have the money. Sorry. It's not going to happen this morning. But anyway. But I do agree with this, that life can be a little less miserable if you can throw money at a few things. I mean, let's just be real, right? It can be a little less miserable. If you have issues in your life, for instance, if your air conditioning unit goes out in your house and you can quickly throw some money at it, the misery can go away. A lot of people think, man, our marriage would be a whole lot better and our marriage would be fine and okay if we could just throw a little more money at our marriage, a little more money coming into our lives, then all of our marital problems, man, they're going to be resolved. Now, money can help make life maybe a little less miserable for here or there. It can maybe let you go on a vacation, but taking away some misery in your life isn't the same as being truly happy in your soul, in your inner man. We're talking about a totally different thing here. We're talking about happiness. Happiness. I know many wealthy people. I know people who have like a whole bunch of millions. I was talking with somebody this week and they were like, yeah, I was talking with a friend and that my friend was just telling me, you know, that first 100 million was the hardest to make. I'm like, yeah, probably was. It's the hardest for me to make. I don't know. I agree. I'm on board with you on that. I know a lot of wealthy people, and there's nothing about, I mean, they're just people, right? But I'm going to tell you this about them. They are no more happier than my friends who live in the villages of Ghana, Africa. And I would say in many ways they're a lot less happy than my friends. I mean, Jimmy, you've been there. You know. Than my friends who live in the villages of Ghana, Africa. In fact, I find wealthy people in America have a lot more stress and a lot less happiness. Because I believe that this is true, that more stuff can bring more stress. More stuff can bring more stress. So here's personal testimony time from the pastor. I've lived this out in my life. I was in business before I was in ministry, before I was a pastor. And I was blessed in the area of the IT, in the arena of IT back in the 90s and the early 2000s, and then in real estate. And I was blessed in such a way that I was able to not only have a house, but I was able to buy a cabin up in the mountains outside of Payson, right up against the Federal Reserve land on 3 acres, nobody on my side of the seasonal creek, in a full log cabin. It was gorgeous and it was pretty. I had a payment. It wasn't free. It cost me money. And I thought, man, this is the life. This is wonderful. This is what we've been looking for our family, a getaway, a place we can just go and enjoy. But let me tell you what ended up happening for me in that whole scenario. I found myself at least half of the time I was up there fixing things, maintaining that cabin, keeping it running, keeping it from falling apart. In fact, one time I was up there doing some plumbing that had to be done, otherwise we were going to have some significant issues. And the pipe, the copper pipe that I just heated up, began to fall, and I just instinct reached out and it fell right on me, third-degree burn right on my hand. It was nasty. I'd go up there and I'd be worried about, man, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Then I'd come back down to the valley and it'd be 2 a.m. in the fall. And all of a sudden, there's this cold snap that happens. And I'm thinking to myself, I haven't winterized the cabin. Oh no, what happens if the pipes burst? So at 3 a.m, I'm in my car driving up to Payson. 3 a.m. Oh, I'm going to go to work that day. But I'm worried. I'm stressed out. How's this cabin going to be managed and taken care of? I got to do it. More stuff. More stress. I've lived it. I've been there, and we probably all have stories about that in our lives where stuff has brought a lot of stress in our lives. Jesus outlined how to find true happiness when he preached his Sermon on the Mount. He rolled it out in the Beatitudes. We went through the Sermon on the Mount a year ago and spent time really digging into this. And we found out that word blessed that he used in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, are the meek, are those who mourn, really means happy in God. So what he's doing in the Beatitudes is he laid out for us really who the happy people are and really how to live and find happy lives. It's the people that are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted are the happy in God people. Now, when we look at that, when we look at who Jesus is saying are happy in God, you don't see anything about wealth. You don't see anything about those are the people who have more stuff. Those are the people with a 401k that's growing, that has the savings account that they're pouring into that's getting bigger and bigger. You don't see anything about that related to happiness. There's no connection between that and happiness in God's kingdom and in His economy. Happiness is found in God and God alone. Let's put that back up on the screen. And the survey says, happiness is found in money. No, God equals happiness. The truth is this, money will never get you happiness, and it will never make you happier. More of God will always make you happier. That's God's economy. That's the truth of the kingdom of God that we are blessed to live in now as children of God. Let's look at myth number two. Myth number one, money brings happiness. Myth number two, money equals security. Survey says, or the Bible says, it's two strikes. Look out. Might have to pass to the other team. Anyway, two strikes. Money brings security is strike number two. It doesn't. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. I'm just saying what Jesus said here in the Bible. This is found in Luke 12:15. There's an exclamation point, so that's why I was doing it that way, because I figured that's what Jesus did. Watch out! I got your attention too, so that worked. Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And Jesus then told them this parable. Jesus said the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He was blessed with an amazing crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I mean, that's what I would think, right? What shall I do with all this abundance that's all of a sudden come into my life? Just got this amazing inheritance. Wow, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. His fleshly carnal mind thought, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But then God says this. God said to him, you fool. Actually, there's an exclamation point there too. So, you fool! This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? See what's going on here? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Now let's look at this. This man's problem wasn't that he had been successful in his work. This man's problem was not necessarily that he was thinking about how to deal with the abundance and build barns to put the abundance in. That wasn't really the problem either. That wasn't the problem. We need to be smart. If the Lord blesses us with much, we need to be careful with that. And we need to put it in a safe place. That's wisdom. So there was nothing wrong with him doing that. But here's what happened, though. The man's problem becomes evident here as we see that he was thinking of his wealth, this wealth that he was given. He was thinking it was all for him, and he was thinking that this was going to be his security here on this earth. That now he was going to be able to take all this and be secure. No more problems. I'm taken care of. I can just chill out with life right now. That's what all of this blessing is for. That was his thought. That was his problem. He was not using the wealth God had given him for the purposes that God had intended. He was using it only for himself and thinking that this was all about making him secure. This would be his security from now on. So I want to tell you another story about me, and some of you have heard this one. But years ago when I was in business, I was very motivated as a young 20-something to become a millionaire as fast as I could. I thought by age 35, completely doable, maybe multi-millions by then. Didn't happen, so don't come knocking, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I was motivated. There were two motivations. One is I wanted to impress people. That's Pride, man, that's not good. It's not a good motivation, right? Pastor, not good. All right, this was in the past. Just want to let you know this is not a current day story. Anyway, so praise God. So we've got that. We've got my pride wanting to impress people. The second, you want to know the second reason, which was huge right up there with pride, is I wanted money so that I could be secure in life and not have to worry about my future. I wanted to pile up money, get the bank accounts and the investments rolling, so I no longer had to worry. I no longer had to rely on anyone for anything. I had my life covered. That was my motivation. And all I can say is I thank God for allowing me to wake up every morning when I was in that place of sin and in that place of handling those precious resources that He was giving me wrongly and looking at them wrongly. This man in this parable didn't get to wake up. I thank God that I got to wake up. It's a reminder that His mercies are new every morning. And that if we're in a place that's out of balance with His thinking, that if we're in a place, whether it's about money or our marriages or any other area of our thinking about our lives, if we're out of alignment with God, His mercies are new and we can come into alignment. He's letting you wake up to have a new day of walking His way. I want to encourage us to take advantage of that. By God's grace, it was years. It was about a decade before I woke up out of this wrong thinking. But I thank God that I did. I thank God that I did. I thought that money could give me what only God could give me. I learned it later. Money couldn't give me security. Only God, because you see, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my future, not money. Not money. I want to ask you this. Have you found yourself singing that age-old hymn? My hope is built. Maybe you've sung this before. Just wait and listen. My hope is built on nothing less than money, wealth, and financial success. Have you, maybe you've been singing that subconsciously as you've been going through life? Maybe you've kind of been making decisions in your life about how you're going to spend your time and what you're going to do based on maybe that hymn going on in the back of your mind. My hope is built on these things. I better be going after it. I gotta get it. I gotta get it. I gotta get it. Stuff of life is fleeting. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Church, that's the truth. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. He is our only security. Jesus. So you got the myth? What's the myth? Money equals security. Whoops, you jump forward. Whoop. Don't give them the... Yep, there you go. Money equals security. Hey, pretend you didn't see that. Money equals security. No, that's a myth. That's a lie. The truth is, God is our security. He's our security. He's our hope. He's our future. Invest in Him. Go after Him. He'll never disappoint. Let's go. Money myth number three. You just saw it. Money brings freedom. Survey says. The Bible says... That's three strikes, folks. That's three strikes. I've been there. I've had the three strike count on me in my life. I want to talk to you about this guy named the rich young ruler. It says in Matthew 19:16 that a man came up to Jesus, this rich young dude, came up to Jesus and he asked him, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? What good thing must I do to have real freedom forever? To be so free that I will live forever with God. What good thing do I have to do? And now Jesus responded, I'm going to paraphrase it. This is how Jesus responded. He said, stop relying on your money. Stop relying on your money. Let go of that other God that you have called money and wealth and stuff. And come follow me. Come follow me. Then you will have true freedom. That was Jesus' response to this guy. How do I get free? Eternal freedom. Forever kind of freedom. Freedom that starts now and goes on forever. But here's the issue. This guy couldn't do it. Jesus just spoke the truth. He just gave this guy the opportunity to be one of His disciples. Number 13 maybe even. Or just one of the part of the 70 or others that were following Him. But he could have spent his life now literally walking with Jesus and understanding true freedom and eternal life now and forever. But the guy couldn't let go. He couldn't let go of that. His mind, his flesh wouldn't let go of the reality that I don't need this money to make myself free. I don't need this money, that I really can let it go. And Jesus really will be all I need. And I really can have eternal life without this earthly stuff called money and possessions. He couldn't let it go. And so this guy, instead of walking into freedom for eternity with Jesus, he held on to his money and he remained a slave in bondage for the rest of his life, potentially. There's always grace, and maybe he came later to Christ. He remained a slave and in bondage, not free. He walked away from true freedom because his possessions possessed him. His possessions possessed him. Having possessions is not bad, but it's when our possessions begin to possess us, begin to dictate who we are and what we will do and what our lives are all about. When our possessions begin to possess us, there's a problem, and we're not free. We're not free. We're under bondage to those things. His money didn't bring freedom. It actually kept him from freedom. His money kept him from going all in and following Jesus Christ. And so I have this question for you, and you just get real with yourself and God right now. Is money keeping you from going all in? Is stuff, money, your bills, all that kind of stuff, is it keeping you from going all in? Is going after money and going after more money keeping you from going after more of God? And I'm not talking about having a job and being blessed, because that's how God helps provide for our needs. He says He'll provide for all of our needs. And so He gives us opportunities to work because He created us for that. Adam, before the fall, worked, and it was beautiful. He created us for that. Work is not evil or something that we should be avoiding. It's the very thing that God can use to bless us with all of our needs and our finances. But after we've worked that 40 or 50 hour week and received the blessings from heaven of our finances, do we feel like, I need more? I need more? I need more? And is going after that more money and more stuff keeping you from going after more of God? That's when it gets twisty. As I was being called into ministry, I've got my last little time of testimony and sharing here. I was being called into ministry. The Lord gave me a word. He said, it's time to get your financial house in order. I said, Eric, it's, and now I was still in business, selling houses and doing real estate. It's time to get your financial house in order. And I knew exactly what the Lord was saying. He was saying, it's time to get rid of stuff so that you can make decisions in life, not based on stuff and maintaining the stuff. Get your financial house in order. So here's what we did. I talked to Velvet about it. And we immediately put our cabin up for sale. And by God's grace, the thing sold for full price in 1 week. It was a miracle. Full price in 1 week. I actually made money off of that deal. Praise God, He's good. Oh, when we say yes to God, oh, amazing. I had to give all my furniture. But you know what? That would have just been more stuff to deal with. So praise God, take it. I have no need for that. And within a couple months, we had cut down our expenses by 40%. In a couple months. We got rid of motorcycles. We got rid of quads. We got rid of cable television. I mean, we cut. If you're in a financial situation and you feel like you don't have enough and you have cable television, you've got something you can do right there. It's very easy. You cancel. And you walk in a little more freedom right there. There are ways to do this. The Lord said, get your financial house in order. Eric, Velvet, Jones family. And it's only the grace of God that allowed us to actually obey that and say yes to it. But by His grace, we did. And that freed me to follow God's plan for my life and to go into ministry full time. So the point is, we must financially position ourselves to be used by God. This is the beauty of it. Money doesn't buy freedom, but our freedom was already purchased. Not with money, not with gold, not with silver. Our freedom wasn't bought with money. Rather, our freedom was purchased 2,000 years ago on the cross as Jesus Christ went and hung on the cross and bled for us. That's real freedom. That's true freedom. That's the kind of freedom that God has for us that no amount of money can buy, and no amount of money can enhance that kind of freedom. No amount of money can make you any more free than Jesus can make you and has made you. No amount of money. My pastor for 15 and a half years, Gary Kinneman, is Jesus plus nothing. I want to invoke that right now. Is Jesus plus nothing when it comes to happiness, folks? Nothing else will increase the happiness that Jesus purchased for you on Calvary. Nothing else. If you're in Christ, you're free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And there is no amount of money that can buy that. And on my notes, I put after that, booyah. Booyah. As I conclude, I want to invite the band to come up. God's way of thinking and living always brings peace. It does. It brings joy. It doesn't mean that we don't walk through the valleys of the shadow of death and that life can be hard. I understand that. We're walking through some valleys right now in our lives, in our family. So pray for us. Nothing to be afraid of. It's just, you know, life can be hard. Things can happen. Pray for us. Thank you. But I will tell you this. When we live God's way, when we come into agreement God's way, it brings us to that place of peace. And even in the midst of the storm, we can have peace. As Jesus slept when everybody else was getting all crazy, when the storm was happening, Jesus had peace because he understood who he was. And he knew that it's all in God's hands. We can walk in peace. We can walk in joy. When we have God's way of thinking and living, that's where we find true happiness, real security, and that ultimate freedom that nobody can take from us. Nobody. So do you need to get your financial house in order? It's okay. It's okay if you do. No need to raise your hand. But if you need to get your financial house in order, if you need to position yourself right now for what God has planned for you, I want to encourage you to go to the Financially Free Seminar this Saturday. Do something about it. Get some ideas. Get some precepts, some wisdom, some understanding, some new strategies on how to make sure that possessions don't possess you any longer. So that you're free to go after more of God. That will never disappoint. Amen. Amen. Well, right now I want to invite you to stand up. Together I want to give us the opportunity to declare the real truth, that Jesus Christ is our hope. So the first thing I want to do is this. I want you to repeat this after me, okay? So I'm going to say it first, and then you're going to say it. And you notice there's an exclamation point after that. Amen? So here's the deal. I find my happiness in Christ alone. Yes. Second one. I find my security in Christ alone. And let's say this third one. I find my freedom in Christ alone. Let's stand and let's sing this truth.